Thank you very much, musicians. I want to make reference here to some of the songs that we're singing that really helped me to know that what I'm getting ready to do is on the right track. I mean, I really felt I had something totally different planned, and a little bit last minute felt the Lord deal with my heart to go along these lines, but I want to read to you just a couple things. Fourth verse of the Old Rugged Cross says, "To the old rugged cross I will ever be true." I hope that's a commitment that every single one of you's made. Because it seems like the day and hour that we live in, there's more and more people leaving a back door open, and sooner or later they take it. Then on leaning on the everlasting arms, it says, "What have I to dread? What have I to fear? I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near." Then we sung, "Hold to God's unchanging hand." Right. I want to. There was something that was publicly put on Facebook that a lot of you are probably aware of, but that has disturbed me greatly because I've been dealing with this situation for a long time. And I'm not trying to make light of this, but I'm trying to show you just how relevant and important this sermon really is. Okay? It's somebody that has made the decision to backslide and has felt like they needed to announce it publicly to everyone. And then even said, you know, "Please don't anybody get on and try to talk me out of this or whatever, because, you know." If I got on Facebook and I publicly announced that I was going to commit suicide, do you think people would probably try to get a hold of me? Try to talk me out of what I was getting ready to do? Why should anything be different spiritually? I mean, to a real saint of God, you know, when somebody would say, "Hey, guess what? I'm getting ready to backslide. As a matter of fact, I've already made the decision to do it." That should chill us to our core for two reasons. Number one, somebody is losing their spiritual life and they are most certainly going to go to hell because of it.
Yeah.
And the second reason is because the very same thing can happen to me and you. Yeah. And all these Christians that are going around that are so spiritual that they don't even consider the fact that the devil could ever catch up with them or that they could turn around and go backwards. Well, there's no kids in here, but they're about as stupid as they could possibly get. You know, there's a particular picture of a person that I keep in my desk drawer that I admired greatly in their spiritual walk and just thought that they were tremendous. And they lost out with God a long time ago and they've never come back. And the reason I keep it there, Brother Parsons, is because if it could happen to them, it can happen to me. I want to read to you from this person that had made the decision to backslide, just part of their post on Facebook. "I often find myself walking away. I thought I was happy where I was, but I'm not. Ever since I've started talking about making the decision to live for God, family's been dying and life seems to only get worse. I know that I've also had a lot of good things happen. I got a job, friends, and everything else. But here's the simple fact. I had friends and I had a job before I knew anything about the Bible. So I'm walking away." Now, what was this person basing their decision to backslide off of? Bad things happening in their life. And as a pastor, I see that happening so many times with different people that I love and that I care about and that come in and out of this church than I'd like to admit. And I'm really burdened about it tonight. And I really believe the Lord wants to deal with it. And if you grab your Bibles, we're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. While you're turning there, I just want to tell you, you know, the Lord gives us commandments for a reason. You know, I don't think a lot of Christians understand that. I mean, when He puts something in the Word of God, Brother Loomis, He puts it there for a reason. It's for our benefit. It's to keep us from falling. I mean, Peter said, give diligence to make thy calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you'll never fall. But people know what the Word of God has to say, and yet they never apply it. And because of it, that's exactly what they do. They fall, and they fall harder than they could possibly imagine. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I'm going to draw your attention to verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good, what? Soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to preach to you for a while on endure hardness. And Brother Loomis, if you'd pray. Now, a very famous portion of Scripture is Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And Paul says something that I think a lot of people don't know how heavy his heart is when he said it. And probably the reasons that he decided to say it is because he saw a lot of people fall away too. And he started off that very famous portion of Scripture saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That word beseech we could probably use in our modern vernacular by saying, I'm begging you, brethren, by the mercies of God, please listen to what I have to say. And I feel the same way. Because a major problem with the church today is the fact that the majority of Christians want an easy Christianity. Amen? They want to be saved, but they don't want any struggles. They want to be holy, acceptable to God, but they don't want any hardship. They want to be a Christian, they just don't want to experience any crisis. Right? All in all, they want to be born again, but they want to live a life that never experiences any kind of adversity. They just want to live life that's an easy road. No problems. No hardship. No trials. But the fact of the matter is, what they're interested in is nothing more than a fiction. It's a fantasy. Saying that you want to live a life with no hardship is like saying you want to go back and live in a fairy tale land. It isn't going to work. It just isn't that way. I mean, it's never going to happen. I mean, I'd like a lot of things. I'd like a car that didn't run on gas so I didn't have to pay for it. I really would. I'd like my mortgage company to rip up the remainder of what I owe them, and I'd own my house free and clear. Amen. I'd like NIPSCO to charge me reasonable rates. I'd like all kinds of companies around town to send me a paycheck every week, and I didn't even have to work for it. But guess what, folks? That ain't ever going to happen. It'd be stupid of me to think that it ever was going to. But still, a major problem with the church today is that people want a life with no hardships. No bumps in the road, no waves or ripples in the water, but they want everything to be smooth sailing all the time, but it's never going to happen that way. Now, I've seen this happen a multitude of different times. You've seen it happen a multitude of different times too, where somebody will get saved and they'll start off the Christian life, and as long as everything's going good for them, they're fine. It's great. I mean, they're excited to be living for God. God's the greatest thing in the world. I mean, that's all that they talk about. That's all that they want to do. But as soon as trials come into their life and things start going bad, they turn their back on God as quickly as they turned their face to Him when they were around an altar. Now, when they first got saved and everything was going good, man, they'd lift up their voices, they'd lift up their hands, and they'd praise God louder than anybody else in the service. But once the waves started to pound and the wind started to howl, only thing they were left saying is stuff like this. If God loves me so much, then why is He letting all this kind of stuff happen to me? You ever hear somebody say that? I mean, I thought He said that He would never leave me or forsake me. I mean, the Word of God said that, you know, He'd be a friend that would stick it closer than a brother, and yet He feels like He's a million miles away. And then they conclude all those thoughts the devil's placed in their mind with the most frustrating statement that they could possibly say, and it's this. My life isn't any better than it was before I first got saved. As a matter of fact, it seems like it just keeps getting worse. So I think that I'm just going to go back to the way things were. And that's exactly what they do. I just read to you somebody that decided to do it this week. Folks, we have to understand that the trials of life really are going to come. They really are going to rock our world, so to speak. And while we might want to be able to hide from them or pretend that we're never going to have to experience them, man, they're going to come just the same. Regardless of how we feel about them, they're going to be right at our door. And that's why we're exhorted in our text to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Not to ignore it, not to run away from it, not to get all upset when it actually happens, just like Jesus is promising that it would. But when it happens, we're to acknowledge it, we're to accept it, and we're to endure it, all to the glory of God. Ain't a whole lot to shout about, is there? Rough times is going to come. You're just going to have to deal with it. Can't run away from it. Can't wish it wasn't there. Can't pretend that it's not there. Man, it'll slap you right in the face. So what's the only thing left to do? Acknowledge it, accept it, and endure it, just like the Word of God tells us to. It's telling us that for a reason. Now, the modern church might not want to accept what I'm saying is true, and they might want to argue with it and disagree and get all upset, and they want to experience their best life now, which if you wonder why I'm against that guy so bad, this is why. But the good soldier of Jesus Christ knows that what I'm saying is true, and yet they go on to serve God anyway. They don't get upset about it. They just realize they're going to have to deal with it. They don't give up on God over it. They just go on to endure it. And they might not like it, and they might wish that it would never take place, but they learn to endure it just the same. Why? Because it's good. It's going to happen. We've been given a provision by God to be able to get through it, and that is to just endure the things that we have to face. Now, the word soldier in our text is very important. It was mentioned twice, if you took notice of it. And it's no coincidence that it's there. Because do bad things ever happen to soldiers? Do soldiers ever have to go through trying times? Do soldiers ever have to experience adversity? Is being a soldier in a time of war, which is what we Christians are supposed to be in, a time of comfort and ease? So why should being a Christian soldier be any different? That reference of being a soldier is there for a reason. I mean, if we could speak to some of the good soldiers of Jesus Christ that have went on long before us, and we'd have the opportunity to ask them the question, does a Christian ever have to experience adversity in life? I wonder what some of them might say. I mean, I wonder if I had the chance to go up to Peter right now and say, hey, Peter, I was just wondering, does a Christian ever have to experience adversity in their life? Want to know what he'd tell me? I was imprisoned by the Romans and then they crucified me upside down. Yeah. Sometimes a Christian has to experience some adversity in life. I mean, if I went up to the Apostle James and I said, hey, I was just kind of curious, does a man of God of your stature ever have to experience any kind of hardship throughout life? He'd say, I was beat to death with a club after they threw me off the temple in Jerusalem. Yeah, I'd say that you can experience some adversity in your life. If we went up to Bartholomew and asked him, hey, do you ever experience adversity? He'd say, I was beaten, I was crucified, and then I was beheaded for translating the Gospel of Matthew into the Indian tongue. Yeah, I think it's safe to say you can experience some adversity. But here's what I want you to understand. Their lives are also a standing testimony that we can endure it too. We might have to face it. As a matter of fact, we're promised that we would. But we're also promised that we can get through it if we just give God a chance. I mean, there's some people that experienced some terrible adversity and even lived to tell about it. For instance, I mean, you can look at the life of Job. I mean, the Bible says that he lived such a godly life that one day God was bragging about him to the devil. And the devil got so upset, you know, because one of God's, you know, servants was living for him in such a way, exactly the way that God was saying, that he asked permission to afflict Job, to try him, and to test him. In other words, to bring hardship into his life. But even after he lost all of his finances, all of his possessions, all of his children, and even his health, if you could have asked him, he would have said this, I may not understand why this has come my way, and I sure wish I would have never had to experience it. But I'm still going to trust my God and I'm still going to lift up my hands and I'm going to say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Even as confused and bewildered as I am, I mean, why in the world did this take place? I don't understand all these things, but I'm still going to make it through. Look at the life of Paul. He was a man that lived wholeheartedly for God. Would you agree with that? I'm serious. I mean, if you read about somebody, he's unbelievable. And yet we still read of his tremendous hardships and trials he went through in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And it's a portion of scripture that people just start skimming over and they don't even understand the relevance of it. Notice what it says in verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Do you know what that means? That's 195 lashes with a whip across your back. Can you imagine how scarred he must have been? Can you imagine how thick the skin on his back probably was? I bet when he took off his shirt, it was disgusting. Then he goes on to say in verse 25, thrice I was beaten with rods. You know, no big... Do you remember about 10 years ago there was some teenage American kid that was over in the Middle East and he went around and he vandalized some cars and they were going to cane him? Remember that? And the American government got in and said, wait a second, you can't do that to this kid. And it was a big controversy. And they said, well, why can't we do this? And they said, well, because caning usually kills a person. Thrice I was beaten with rods. It's the exact same thing that kid was going to experience. Usually killed people, and it happened to him 3 different times. Once I was stoned. Again, we read over that. Yeah, we read about different people being stoned, but when you read about that in the book of Acts, they stoned him to the point that they thought he was dead and drug him out of the city to keep his carcass out of their city. And a lot of theologians think that he did die and was risen from the dead. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In other words, there's nobody that I could trust. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often. In hunger and thirst and fastings often. In cold and nakedness. Man, the list just goes on and on and on, doesn't it? But then he still went on to say this. I've been troubled on every side, but not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. I've been cast down, but I've not been destroyed. Why? Because he learned how to endure hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, when you read over that list and you really try to imagine what that could have possibly been like to experience even one of those three things that I talked about, you have to ask yourself the question, how in the world could a person be expected to endure all the different things that he went through? So we're going to let him answer with his own words. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "Because God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." In other words, he was saying, listen, God is never going to allow you to go through something that he's not going to enable you to be able to go through. And that's why he said in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 12, "I know both how to be abased and how to abound. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Man, when you consider that list, that all things is quite a big deal, isn't it? And it was his words that we find exhorting us in our text to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We have to understand that the Christian life is not going to be a life of ease. And that's why our text is telling us, and I'm going to repeat it 100 times in this message, we got to learn how to endure hardness is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It'd be foolish to sit around and pretend that it's not going to come our way. It'd be even more foolish when it happens to not be prepared for it and not willing to endure it. I know that it's not fun, but it's fitting. Amen? It's not exciting. I mean, nobody's going to stand up and run around the church tonight, but it's essential. God really is telling us this for a reason. He wants us to understand two things. Number one, we are going to experience adversity, and a lot of times it's going to be worse than we could possibly imagine. But if we'll just do what He says, He will make sure that we make it safely through. Now, we might not ever be called to face the same kind of trials as some of those guys that I talked about. I mean, Brother Loomis, you might not be beheaded for going into the jail. They might not wear it. Brother Maurer, if you got witnessing on First Fridays, I mean, they might not crucify you upside down or beat with rods or whatever the case might be. And the things that all of us might have to endure might be totally different than what these guys did. But we have to understand we've still been called to have that same response, which is to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, I realize that hardships in life are never wanted. But that still doesn't change the fact that they're going to come. And while there might be a bunch of jelly-spined, comfort-seeking, pansy Christians that want to go AWOL every time something goes wrong in their life, we need to understand that we, as the true servants of God, have to be determined to do exactly what our text is telling us to do. You know, a lot of people don't understand that hardship's designed to help us instead of hurt us. You know, I don't know how many different times it's talked about in the Word of God. I mean, the book of James is practically dedicated to it. You know, Peter talks about it. I mean, it's mentioned all different kinds of times. And a lot of times people just don't understand that hardships are not designed to ruin us. They're designed by God to develop patience in our life, and He allows them to take place because He wants us to be drawn nearer to Him instead of push Him away. Why? Because like old Brother Roloff used to say down in Texas, hardship brings us to lordship. It causes you to cling to God. It causes you to say, Lord, I mean, I'm getting ready to experience or I'm in the midst of experiencing something that I know that I can't make it through on my own and I need Your help. That's why when I was listening to Brother Josh Hamby preach when me and Brother Lance was down at London, Kentucky at a missions convention, he was talking about the Jerusalem road that the Chinese Christians are getting ready to pave. And what it is they're going to start in China and they're going to walk down all the way into Jerusalem through all those Muslim countries that, it's restricted to even say the name of Jesus Christ or you'll be killed. But they're going to go down through here and they're going to go the whole way witnessing to as many people as they can until they reach Jerusalem. And there were some Americans that called up and said, man, we'd like to be a part of that. And they said, we don't want you to have anything to do with it, because as soon as things get hard, just like they're going to, you're going to turn tail and run. Why do you think the Sudanese Christians or the Chinese Christians are so much more spiritual than people in America? Hardship drives you to lordship. And while I'm sure every single one of them would say, listen, you know, I wish we didn't have to go through this kind of stuff. I wish persecution wasn't so strong. The fact of the matter is they do have to go through it. And what has it done for them? Why? Because they understand God's not out to kill them. He's not out to ruin their relationship with God. But a lot of folks don't get that. I mean, if it's God's plan for His people, when they experience adversity, to be drawn closer to Him and not push farther away, then why do so many people fall away when they experience it? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, if it's the design of God, read it in James chapter 1, man. If it's the design, the plan of God to draw a Christian closer to Him, to develop patience in that Christian's life, which means the ability to hold the weight of something. If that's the plan of God to benefit a Christian when they experience adversity, then why do so many Christians fall away when they have to face it? It's because there's another kind of hardness that we have to take into consideration that poses just as big a problem to a lot of modern Christians today is the first kind of hardness that we talked about. And that's the hardness of discipleship. Okay. See, our text isn't just referring to hardness in the forms of persecution or hardships, like your car breaks down or your house burns to the ground or you lose your job or you get sick in your body or your loved one dies. That's not all it's referring to. But it's being used in a very general sense. So it means hardness of any kind. And if there's one thing that a lot of Christians today shrink away from, just as bad as all the other types of hardness we've been talking about, it is the hardness of discipleship. Folks today in the church don't want anything to do with it. Now, what do I mean when I say the hardness of discipleship? Because there might be somebody thinking I'm blasphemous, you know. Because after all, you know, what hardness is involved in being a true disciple of Christ? What part isn't? I mean, you got three major adversaries, your flesh, this world, and the devil, fighting against you on a continual basis 24 hours a day. The spirit inside of you is telling you to do this. Live a life that's acceptable to God. Live a completely devoted life to Him. And if you just look at one of those enemies, our flesh, just think of how hard our flesh makes it to do. Now, the definition of the word disciple is a follower or one who adheres to the doctrine of another. It means a disciplined person. I like that. Someone who is disciplined towards the whole of a doctrine. Not the part of a doctrine, but the whole of a doctrine. Partial following is defined as a hypocrite. A disciple is defined as obeying a doctrine in full. We can't get confused about those. And there's a lot of Christians today who simply are not interested in the least in following after everything that God commands. They want to follow in part, but not in full. They simply do not want to endure that hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want you to think, how many times do you hear us preach about the fact that you got to live a holy life before God? You got to do your devotions, read your Bible, pray. You hear it all the time, right? Now, these type of people want to claim the name of Christ and they want all of the benefits that His name affords and that come along with it, but they do not want to obey the words of James in chapter 4, verse 7. And they don't want to submit themselves, therefore, unto God in every way. Okay? They want to cling to all kinds of what they call positive verses, but they want to run away from everything that they call the negative verses. In other words, they want to receive, but they don't want to surrender. They want salvation, but they don't want to bring their bodies into subjection. They want to experience all the promises of God and all the power of the Spirit, but they have no interest whatsoever in mortifying the deeds of the body or crucifying their flesh like they're commanded to. And the reason they feel that way is because all of those negative things are hard to do. Takes effort, right? Takes action. Takes some discipline in your life, and that's simply more than they are willing to give. There's folks like that, right? I mean, you're all looking at like I'm from Mars or something. In other words, they want to serve God, Brother Maurer. They just want to take all the serve out of it. And that thing I read to you that's posted on Facebook is what they experience as a result. There was a great missionary, I think it was J. Hudson Taylor, Brother Anson, I can't remember for sure, but he said, you either make Jesus Christ Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. He said that we have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That means that we have to obey all the hard things in the Word of God that we find difficult to do. Now, in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, we're told, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Now, that word grievous means a burden or weighty. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to say that serving God is a drudgery or it's some kind of burden. I'm not trying to contradict with the Bible. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that sometimes obeying the Word of God is very difficult for us to do. Amen. Sometimes it goes against your flesh so bad that you would never be able to do what it's asking you to do if we didn't have the promise of Philippians chapter 2:13, where God will come and give us the desire and the ability to fulfill what He requires of our lives. See, there's a big difference between something being difficult and something being a drudgery. And while the commandments of God might be difficult at times, they are not grievous. There's simply a hardness that we have to endure, whether it's difficult for us to do or not. The great writer Guy H. King said this, as Christians, we got to have a belief that behaves. I'm not going to ask you to raise up your hands, but I really want you to raise up your hearts, okay? How many of you feel like it's sometimes real difficult to have a devotional life like the Lord commands us to? To read the Word of God every day and to spend a good quality time in prayer with Him. Let me ask you another question. How many of you do that every day? How many of you know that that's what the Lord is commanding us to do so that when adversity comes our way, we don't fall out of the boat like everybody else does? He's not trying to be a jerk. He's not trying to cut into your TV time. But the A-team ain't going to keep you out of hell, friend. Starsky and Hutch isn't going to do anything for you in your spiritual life. Playing racquetball isn't going to keep the devourer from your sake. But because there's difficulty and because there's discipline involved, there's a lot of people that just want to shun this commandment altogether because they're simply unwilling to endure hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ when it comes to really being a disciple, the follower of a whole of a doctrine, somebody that really does lead a disciplined life. But while there's always going to be those that are unwilling to follow the commandments of our text, it's just the way it is, especially in the last days, we know what's going to happen. But it's the true servants of God, we have to make sure that there's still people who are willing to do whatever God requires them to. And while I realize that dying to yourself is one of the most difficult things that you ever have to do, I got to do it too. And I think sometimes people forget that stuff that I preach is required of me just like it's required of them. But it's still required, isn't it? It's still essential. The Bible's telling us it's still a hardness that we have to endure. And while it might be difficult, it still does not cancel out the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, when He said, if any man will come after Me, Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If we're going to live a life that's pleasing to God and ever make it through those gates of pearl, not just in our spiritual claims, but in our spiritual condition and conduct, which is the only area of our spiritual life that really matters, then we're going to have to realize that enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ is just as much a part of our Christian walk as all that good stuff we like to cling to. Just the way that it is. As the people of God, we are to be disciplined people. We're to be true disciples. We're to be the type of soldiers that our text is talking about, which is people that are just as willing to endure hardness as they are to receive blessings. Because really, no matter which one of those things that we come across, whether, you know, it's going to be a blessing to us just the same, isn't it? I mean, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, I mean, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And even though we might not see it at the time, God does. And that's why He says, listen, don't freak out. I know it's not fun. Just endure hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So here's where I've been trying to get y'all to. When it all boils down, when you are maintaining your devotional life before God like you should, what's the result? Well, the James chapter 4, verse 8 principle comes into play. When you're drawn nigh to God, He's drawn nigh to you. Amen? And we have to understand that that kind of relationship is what's designed to make all the difference in our lives when hardship comes our way. I mean, this book's like a puzzle. I mean, it goes together for a reason. Seek the face of God, read His Word, pray, have an intimate relationship with Him. Why? What's going to be the benefits? Well, it's because when all of hell comes raging at your doorstep and plows you over, you won't have to give in the fight, but you'll be able to endure hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, when people will obey all this devotional stuff that I'm talking about, you know, and they really will try to maintain a devotional life before the Lord. When bad things come their way, they don't feel like they're alone or forsaken, and they don't feel like He's a million miles away like I've heard so many times, but they already feel like He's right there beside them. Why? Because that's the kind of spiritual life that they maintain. You know, one of the worst things you have to do is when something goes wrong in your life, and you've got to try to reestablish that connection with God. When my second daughter, Sage, was getting ready to be born, my wife went to be induced. She was given a pill to try to soften her cervix and anyway, prepare her for labor. And there was a 1 in a million chance, 1 in a million, Brother Prizrock, 1 in a million chance that it could send her uterus into spasms and start a false labor that we weren't ready for yet. Well, we were the 1 in a million chance. Didn't realize that when she was laying there, she was all hooked up, everything was going fine and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden all these doctors and nurses came bursting in here and started cutting her clothes off, and everything was just freaking out, and they said, "Sir, you gotta get back, you gotta get back." So I'm standing up against the wall, they wouldn't allow me to get close, and they said, "You know, what's going on?" And they lost the heartbeat, Sage's heartbeat, for over 10 minutes. And Brother G, all I could do is just look up at heaven and said, "Lord, I know You can do anything." I didn't feel like He was a million miles away. I didn't have to reestablish some kind of communication with Him. But I've seen so many people, when they're not facing half that, their car breaks down, they lose their job, or somebody's mean to them, and I'm not making light of any of those things. They've all happened to me and they're terrible. They want to give up on God. Why? Because they feel isolated and alone. He promised that He'd never leave me or forsake me. He'd be a friend that would stick closer than a brother. And yet, man, I almost puke when I say it. I've heard it so many times. And yet He feels a million miles away. Whose fault is that? Here's what I want you to understand. If you will really be devoted unto Him, and you'll read and you'll pray, even though you won't like those hardships, they sure ain't going to knock you out of the boat. I've had to face all kinds of bad stuff. I remember before I became pastor of this church, within the months before I was voted in, I went through a very, very difficult and dark time that I don't even like talking about. It was so bad. But I had to go through it, and I can see that now, or else I wouldn't be able to pastor a church properly. So I'm glad it happened. I wish it wouldn't have had to, but I'm glad that it did. As many nights I cried. As a matter of fact, I remember one time I was out there mowing the lawn out in front of McDonald's, and I was just sitting there bawling like a baby, and there was cars going by just looking at me, but I couldn't help it, Brother G. All. That's the state I was in. And the whole time I was experiencing that horrible thing, I didn't feel like giving up on God. I don't even understand how people could ever say that. The devil comes their way, starts rocking their boat, things go bad. And again, I'm not making light of it. But what is that going to salve to give up on God? Bad things have been happening to me, so I think I'm just going to turn my back on God. Does that mean everything's going to go good? You want to know what it means? It means you're going to face the same adversities that you're going through right then. They're not going to go away. And you're going to experience all kinds of other hardships in your life, but you're not going to have anybody to turn to and no comfort to be found. And then you're going to die and go to hell and face the worst hardship of all. Does that sound like a good decision to you? Let's stand. I know that this is a quiet service. I know that I didn't really get off to preaching very much or anything like that. But it's because I want you to understand. When we're told something in the Word of God, we're told it for a reason. I'm not wasting my breath for the fun of it up here tonight. God wasn't wasting His time when He inspired the great Apostle Paul to pen those words in 2 Timothy to tell that young preacher to make sure to preach it to everybody he came across. Because God knows that all of us are going to face adversity. He understands that the adversary of our soul has absolutely no conscience, and whatever he has to do to try us to give up altogether, that's exactly what he'll do. If it's make your kids sick, he'll make your kids sick. Have your house burned down, he'll burn your house all the way to the ground. He'll do whatever it takes. And because God knows that, He said, wait a second. I'm going to make the perfect provision in here for you. I'm going to ask that you just stand back and endure hardness. Don't give up. And I'm even going to make sure that every trial that comes your way won't be something more that you can bear. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make sure that there's going to be a way of escape for you. And to top it off, I'm going to cause you to come out spiritually stronger from that thing than the time you went in. Let's just do what he says. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you so very much. Lord, we pray for this one that posted this on Facebook, that you'll help them come to their senses, that you'd move by your power and your spirit, that you'd touch their life as we've been praying, God, that you'd come and do that work. But Lord, regardless of what their decision might be, we've all got a decision to make ourselves. And I believe you're wanting us to understand it's a decision we make before we go into the trial, rather than trying to sort it out while we're right in the middle of it. Lord, help us to understand that we're going to experience adversity. And sometimes it's going to be so strong we don't ever know how we're going to come through it alive. But if we'll just trust in you and do exactly what you've told us to do, it will be to our benefit, even sometimes when we don't see how. If you're the God that has created everything, we can trust in the fact that you know what is best. Lord, I pray for each and every one here. I'm beseeching them by the mercies of God that they really would present their bodies a living sacrifice that would be holy and acceptable unto you, which is just their reasonable service. And the reason it makes so much sense is because you understand everything we're going to face before it ever comes our way. And if we'll just do what you say, I know that we'll make it through alive. We thank you that you care so much about us. We thank you that you have made the perfect provisions for everything that we'll ever have to face. And Lord, now we're asking around these altars, you would give us the determination and the wisdom to make sure that we apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I don't know if you're going through it right now. I can promise you that you will be going through it, maybe very soon. Really pay attention to what the Word of God had to say. I almost just don't feel like I can stop preaching just because my heart's breaking so bad for this person, and I see it happen all the time. It doesn't happen to have to happen to anybody else. If I would make a list of all the people that have allowed this to happen in their lives in the 17 years that I've been to this church, I would have hundreds of people on that list. And I'm not exaggerating. Some of you know exactly what I'm saying is true. Hundreds of people. All because they didn't listen to what the Word of God had to say when it was as easy as this. God will see you through, but you've got to give Him a chance. Let's come and pray.